I'm Kevin Kelly. This is Live and Local, your connection to local music. Our guests today, the Schwartz Family Band, Scott, Samantha, Aaron, and Kitty, who will be playing tomorrow at noon as part of the music series at the Mills Breast Cancer Institute at Carl Clinic in Urbana. It's a free noontime program offered both to patients, staff, and anybody who wants to drop in. And then in the later part of the show, Chester Always, who is music director of the Baroque Artists of Champaign-Urbana, will be here to talk about their concert this coming Sunday, which includes a performance by one of the members of the Schwartz Family Band as part of their Young Baroque Artists Competition winner concert, and also some music by Handel and more. That's the Bach concert on Sunday. All those guests today on Live and Local on FM 90.9. Is the more appropriate for most of the music that they do. And Kitty is the cellist and mandolinist, and I see she's prepared for the mandolin right now. Kitty, what's your real name? I've forgotten.
It's Catherine.
Catherine, but you don't like that probably.
No.
No. Well, it's such a nice name. And Samantha is sometimes Sam, and Aaron is sometimes...
Just Trouble.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, this dad thing is probably a problem. Well, the reason that the Schwartz Family Band is on Live and Local today is that they're going to be playing a free concert tomorrow at the Mills Breast Cancer Institute, which is at the main clinic of Carl campus on the main campus of Carl Clinic on University Avenue in Urbana. It's a free noontime show. It's part of their ongoing series, and they learned recently that's going to continue through the summer. The idea is to offer weekly musical entertainment, and I think there's some box lunches available for staff, patients, and anybody who wants to drop in. And again, it's a free program, and we're going to hear some samples of that on the show today. Scott, quick question for you before we maybe hear your first selection. Whose idea was it, and why did you start this Schwartz Family Band?
That basically, we play as a family band classical music, but improvisation is hard to teach using classical music as your only mechanism. So we started playing old-time music with the idea that we could begin to teach improvisation skills to each one of the children, and it just kind of unfolded from there.
So you said you do play as a classical group or did?
In various combinations. A lot of times it'll be either duets or, you know, trios. I don't think we've actually done a quartet as, you know, a family group. But basically we're a classical family, but we do the old-time music just to cut up a different rug, so to speak.
And the other the other family member I didn't mention, who I guess for the family band in this case serves primarily as chaperone and driver, would be Mother Sarah, who is also a very good pianist. And I'm guessing that she figures in when you play classical stuff.
Yes, most definitely.
Well,
yes.
Maybe we'll have to try that on the show sometime and see how that goes, just for a different picture.
Right.
What was the reason for being concerned about improvisation? Because there's an awful lot of musical families or even just musicians at all who really don't care one way or the other.
I come from a strong jazz background, and to teach the kids jazz, just as flat-out jazz, particularly Aaron, you know, just wasn't interested. And so I thought, okay, fine, how do we get interested, create your own music? Well, use improvisation as a starting block to start creating music as you play. And from that point, as soon as Aaron and Samantha and Kitty recognized that they don't have to play all the notes exactly as they are notated on a page, and quite frankly can kind of ignore the page and play all kinds of new stuff on the fly. And if it works, they hang on to it. If it doesn't, well, it disappears into the ethos and they try something out. So lots of flexibility, which is the essence of music performance. It's live.
So I've got a question then for Aaron and or Samantha, so you might want to come closer to one of these various mics we've got sitting around here. I know that both of you, and I'm not sure, Kitty, if you've done this or not, have played in the Bodacious String Band also, which is in Urbana.
Yeah.
At the Center for, what do they call it? Community School for the Arts over
Community
at Lincoln
Center
Square.
For the Arts.
Community Center for the Arts. And that exists for a similar reason. Do you find it freeing and fun to ignore the notes?
Yeah.
Or
yes.
Is that difficult?
It's great. Mm-hmm. Don't have to always follow like the rules. Get to guidelines.
Are you somebody who has a problem, Aaron, with the rules and guidelines?
Nah, but it's nice to break them a few times.
Yeah, Samantha?
Occasionally.
It's fun to sort of go outside the box from time to time.
But you strike me as somebody who doesn't go out of the box all that often. Is that fair assessment?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. See, I've known two of these folks a little bit through the East Central Illinois Youth Orchestra, where both have played. And Kitty might show up one day, I hope. You giggled in the idea of having not to follow the rules. Is that something that is not important to you, rules?
Well, they're important to me sometimes, but sometimes it's just fun to kind of not follow them.
Okay, well, why don't we have our first take of not following too many rules, since I only see one music stand, and I'm guessing that it doesn't say a whole lot on it.
Not
a
lot.
Piece of paper.
And I will just let Aaron kick it off, and I think most people will recognize the tune right from the start. Aaron, it's up to you.
So that is a tune I recognize, but it's one of those I don't think I know the name to.
Old Joe Clark is the main tune, and then we followed it up with June Apple as a follow-up tune that's very similar in harmonic structure. So we play those both back-to-back. So
yeah, it was pretty seamless one to the other. In fact, I've now forgotten what the first tune sounded like. They had some similarities. Scott, when you guys play, I think you usually have some stories that precede tunes or that you sort of fill in with.
Fly by the seat of my pants, usually talking about the kids. This is usually where they get me back later at home because I try not to embarrass them, but I always end up embarrassing them. You know, talking about the kids, you know, asking when we perform, how long have they played, and, you know, do they practice a lot, of which at least one of the family members sometimes doesn't practice enough. But, you know, that's my dad role, you know, nag him to practice.
At least one.
At least one, yes.
And are you going to reveal which at least one?
I won't, but if he happens to play the violin, it might be.
Yeah, he's already got the look of guilt all over his face. Which, of course, our radio listeners can't see, but I just gave it away. He, there was no question about that one right there. What would be, I'll ask any of the three of the younger ones of the Schwartz family band here, what would be one of the more embarrassing stories that your dad has told at one of these things that maybe you're, or was, or maybe not true?
I don't know.
You guys are going to be a great interview, aren't you?
Sometimes best the embarrassing stories he tells to just block them from memory and pretend they never happened.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Well, Scott, you must have one right now.
Oh, goodness. Lots of stories. We could basically tie one, not so much. This is a new one for Aaron, so you'll have to imagine. My wife took a picture of our son. I guess he was maybe about two. That instance when you start teething. And she took a photograph, which is hanging on my wall in my office, of him chewing on the magazine. And, you know, that in itself, you know, everyone who's had a young child, you know, they chew on all kinds of things. But the title of the page that she photographed was Starting Solids. And I thought that was quite a funny image that I hang here. And, of course, Aaron is always pushing the envelope on everything from solids to playing the fiddle to, you know, schoolwork. It's just the nature of Aaron. He's been doing that since he was teething.
Uh-huh. Pushing the envelope in what other ways?
I don't know. I mean, he's all in all, good kid. I think just, you know, sometimes we'll be playing a tune and then he'll add a new tune to it. I forget. The Cat Came Back, and I think he introduced the Beethoven Fifth theme into that, seeing if I was paying attention. And, of course, then we all kind of chuckled and says, okay, fine. Now we'll just hang on to that, you know, feature. And
well, that was going to be my question. Did it work?
For that instance, it did. I remember the first time, within the first couple weeks, we were, you know, teaching improvisation, and Aaron said, I can't do this. I just don't get it. And I kept telling him, think outside the box. And I think it was, East Tennessee. We were working on that particular tune. So Aaron felt he emboldened to just push it way outside the box to a couple different keys. And we went through an entire, you know, verse of this. And I stopped and I said, that's great. Can we ring you just a little closer to the box so at least we play in the right key? And he kind of smiled and says, oh, okay. And from that point forward, he felt, okay, I can go just about any direction I want. And the same with Kitty and Samantha. You know, just how far can I push it outside the envelope before Dad says, okay, far enough. Come back just a little bit.
Well, at least he's clearly getting the idea, and then the others are good exercise in following. Mm-hmm. You're listening to Live and Local on FM 90.9. I'm Kevin Kelly, and these are members of the Schwartz Family Band. WILO's programs today are made possible with support from Lincoln Square in Urbana, a lifestyle center which includes unique and independently owned specialty shops, including Dina's Hallmark and International Galleries. And the family band are guitarist Scott, who is the father, flutist Samantha, the eldest sibling, violinist or fiddler Aaron, and cellist and mandolinist Kitty. And Kitty, when did you pick up the mandolin and why? Do you remember?
I'm not really sure. I was at a summer camp for Bodacious, and they had this one mandolin workshop, and so I decided to go and have fun with that. And then the next thing I know, my dad had bought me a mandolin and said, here you go, you can play it now.
And you did.
Yeah.
And was that fun, or was that all of a sudden, since dad gave it to you, you didn't want to anymore?
No, it was actually a lot of fun.
Yeah, you look like you're having a good time with it. We should find out about what everybody's doing here. Scott, I know that you are the director of the Sousa Archives and Center for American Music at the University of Illinois, mm-hmm. also Archivist for Music and Fine Arts, the rest of your official title. Mm-hmm. And Samantha, you're at the University of Illinois now in music. I keep getting that wrong, don't I? Where are you?
I actually just finished up my freshman year at Valparaiso University in Indiana with a major in physics.
In physics. I've got it all wrong. Entirely. Well, you know, so many people end up going to the U of I when they live in town here, particularly if they hold a flute in their hand. Mm-hmm. And Aaron, you are at Urbana High School, and you're going to be what this coming year?
I'm going to be a senior.
You're finally going to be a senior.
Yeah.
And then what after that? Do you have any idea at this point?
I want to go into music, but I'm not sure what college.
Well, you don't need to know yet. Okay. But you need to know soon where to apply, don't you?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and who's your private teacher right now?
Donna Laddish.
Donna Laddish, who is in Champaign, Urbana.
Yeah, Champaign.
One of these two towns. And Kitty, how old are you?
I'm 11.
And what grade would that be?
Fifth.
And I probably shouldn't even ask how you ended up being so far down from all the rest of the siblings here. So there's a space of a number of years there. You must be the most fun child, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. The most fun child.
And if you're anything like my youngest brother, you got to do all the things that your elder siblings were never allowed to do at your age. Which is seriously pushing the envelope.
I don't know, actually.
You just take it for granted, right? Mm-hmm. What's going to be our next tune?
We're going to do a vocal tune. Kitty is also our lead singer, and she and Samantha are going to sing Going Down That Road Feeling Bad.
It's the Schwartz Family Band on Live and Local on FM 90.9.
I'm going down that road.
I was waiting for somebody to break out into Beethoven's Fifth or some other sort of off the wall thing. You know,
oh, I gave it away. Sorry.
It could be anything. See, that something new and surprising.
Okay, so the gauntlet's been thrown down.
That's right. You got maybe one or two songs left. You got the invitation is there. The challenge is there. This is the Schwartz Family Band. They're going to be playing at the Mills Breast Cancer Institute at Carl Clinic on University Avenue tomorrow. The Mills Institute has a music series that started earlier this year and is going to continue at least through the summer and probably into the fall and maybe beyond. It's always a free program, starts at noon on Thursdays and for about 45 minutes or so. And I believe you can get a box lunch or something there if you want. It's particularly for the staff and patients at the Institute, but also for anybody who wants to drop in. And there are guests here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. Coming up later on the show, Chester Always is the music director of the Baroque Artists of Champaign-Urbana. They're giving a concert this Sunday at Sinai Temple in Champaign. And the first part of the program features the top three prize winners at Bach's recent Young Baroque Artist Competition. And one of the ensembles that's playing that was a winner there happens to feature Aaron Schwartz, who is sitting here in the Schwartz Family Band. And I hadn't really put that together until I was just about to come in here. Aaron, what are you going to be playing on that concert?
We're going to be playing a Handel Trio.
And who are your colleagues in there?
Daniel Chang and Margaret Kemp Blair.
Margaret Camp Blair, so that would be also the cellist then?
Yeah.
Yeah, and Daniel's a pianist. Daniel is Christine's brother, I presume?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mentioned that the Arcadia Chamber Players, who were our guests on this show some weeks ago, they gave their recent spring concert, used to sponsor a young artists competition, and I remember Daniel as being a very small person when I judged this competition a few times, and I remember thinking that he was really quite a remarkable pianist, and we were hoping to get him on the show today, but it's sort of tough to get everybody out of school, but somehow, Aaron and Kitty, you managed it, and I'll bet you didn't mind.
Nah.
Yeah, what would you be doing in school right now if you were there, Kitty?
It's in the middle of our recess right now.
Oh, so this is a different kind of recess, isn't it? Yeah, that's convenient. And Aaron, what are you getting out of?
I think math and then lunch. So.
How do you do in math?
I think I have an A.
You think you have an A?
I'm pretty sure I have an A. Yeah.
Well, that's good. Yeah. That's good. I heard once that musicians can often make particularly good mathematicians and especially computer programmers. So I heard this from somebody who hired computer programmers. So just in case y'all need something to fall back on, something to think about. And a question for Scott here: the family band. How much do you play? What kinds of places have you played?
Well, we've played in Washington, D.C., at the American History Museum. We've played also at the Smithsonian's archives. We've played in New Orleans, and we travel quite a bit. Played in Chicago, a couple towns north. We play at the farmers market often on Saturday mornings, and a lot around locally.
And the farmers market is definitely the top gig of the ones you've mentioned there.
Yeah, it's the one that it's the freest because the audience flows by. They stop if they like what they hear. They throw some money at the kids, which they really appreciate if the kids play real well. And from my perspective, it's a great rehearsal time. So I quite frankly get rehearsal out of the kid, and they get paid for it. So it's a perfect kind of rehearsal setting. I guess more kids would practice if they knew they'd get paid for it.
So do you, as the agent, do you take a cut of the take at the farmer's market?
No, I don't take any of the cuts, but I do require them not to give me any grief. So,
which might be a pretty good requirement.
Yes.
And I know you have a connection through the Sousa Archives with the Smithsonian. Isn't the Sousa Archives actually affiliated with the Smithsonian?
Actually, the University of Illinois is an affiliate of the Smithsonian Institution. The first university to become an affiliate of the institution. When I left the Smithsonian, I had made up my mind that it would help to get the Sousa Archives involved, and the people at the Smithsonian said, well, why think small? Why don't we think about the whole university? So worked out a relationship that could encompass the entire university, and it can take advantage of many of the programs the Smithsonian offers. And we also have tours that come here periodically.
And when you've gone as the different Schwartz family band, not the traditional music, but more of the classical route, have you taken that show on the road?
Well, we've played. I think what was it? We did some serious music. It was for the New Orleans trip. I can't remember. Yeah, it was Louisiana. We, of course, at the Smithsonian, played at their holiday party and played largely classical music for that venue. In fact, that's how Aaron got introduced. I think he was, four at the time? His first public performance was with me.
No kidding.
At a holiday party at the Smithsonian. Needless to say, he brought the place down. The rest of the audience kind of ignored me, which I guess is okay.
Well, if you're gonna tote a bunch of talented kids, you're going to have to expect that.
I guess, yeah. But I thought it was funny because the tune that made his place in the Smithsonian's eyes was "Go Tell Aunt Rhody." So every time I hear that tune, I think fondly of Aaron as this little 2-3 foot high thing playing on his tenth size violin and watching the entire room go dead silent as he played this tune. And, his only requirement was could he have some chocolate chip cookies after the performance.
And he's looking like he might actually remember that.
Yeah.
And still might like some chocolate chip cookies after this.
Yes.
Sorry, we don't have any. We had some yesterday, but they only show up every once in a while here at WILL. This is Live and Local. I'm Kevin Kelly. In a few minutes, we'll be moving over to a different studio and talk with Chet Always about the Baroque Artists Concert in Champaign this coming Sunday. But we've got room for at least one more tune from the Schwartz family, and I see that Kitty has dragged up her cello in to replace the mandolin. So what have we got next?
We're going to play a Western swing piece called High Flyer Stomp that has all the flavor of Shango Reinhardt and Stephan Grappelli. So ready to kick it off, guys? Thank you.
What did you say the name of that tune was?
High Flyer Stomp.
High Flyer Stomp. It had another, the fiddle tune there for part of it. It sounded like something else that I can't put my finger on. I've always been terrible at naming that tune. But a lot of tunes kind of can blend together and borrow and sound like mm-hmm. and so on. That's the Schwartz Family Band here on Bring It Home Band?
What? Basically, Heading Home Band. Yeah, so it's a Schwartz Family Heading Home.
Yeah, and here you are at in Studio F at WYLL on Live and Local on FM 90.9. You can hear their full program tomorrow for free at the Mills Breast Cancer Institute and their music series that's at the Carl Clinic on University Avenue. That starts at noon, and you're free to drop in and hear them there as well. Just watching Kitty when she was the lead singer and playing the cello now as almost a percussion instrument, I was thinking, you know, of all of this bunch, the one who looks like she might actually go on in non-classical music, she would be the one.
Oh, she'll be our rock and roller, I have no doubt.
Yeah. And she's got the headband and all that stuff. Of course, Scott's got the long hair, and that didn't work out as far as the rock and rolling went. Were you a rocker when you were a kid?
No, I was jazzer.
You mentioned jazz, never rock. So what do you think, Kitty? What's your future? I know you're only in, what did you say, fifth grade, fourth grade?
Mm-hmm. I actually like doing theater a lot, so I hope to do a lot of that in the future.
Mm-hmm. Well, next time we have you on, I want to see some of that infused into your cello playing somehow. But, you know, the singing, the lead singer, that's The diva, right? If you're going to be a theater person, you have to have a little of the diva or devo in you. Well, you all sound great, and I appreciate you coming on the show today. You have something to take us out?
Yeah, I take you out on Red River Valley Waltz. Just something a little slower for those who'd like to dance a bit. Thanks for having us, Kevin. Thank you.
the Schwartz Family Headin' Home Band here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. Music by George Frideric Handel. That was his couple of movements from his G minor oboe concerto. In a performance by oboist David Reichenberg, the English Concert, and harpsichordist and conductor Trevor Pinnock here on WYLL, FM and HD Urbana. It's Live and Local on FM 90.9. I'm Kevin Kelly. And the oboe concerto is one of the pieces you can hear on a concert this Sunday evening by the Baroque Artists of Champaign-Urbana, performing at Sinai Temple on West Windsor Road in Champaign. Concert starts at 7:30, and my next guest is Chester Always, who is the music director of the Baroque Artists, in just a moment.
Marches are everywhere, at weddings and funerals as well as parades. I'm John Frayne. Join me as I sample the great variety of this musical form, which gets us from one place to another, whether fast or slow, in two-step. On Classics of the Phonograph, Saturday at 10 on WILL FM 90.9.
And Chet Always is in the studio with me right now here on Live and Local. Among the elements, Chet, of course, in this concert on Sunday is, and this is a nice segue from our previous guests, mm-hmm, your top three prize winners at this year's Young Baroque Artists Competition. How long have you been doing that?
Oh, man. 3 or 4 years, I think.
Really? It seems like it's been a while longer. What made you decide?
I may be wrong. You know, once you pass 60, you know, the memory cells start dying, and so it could be longer than that. But I know it's been at least the last several years.
And what made you decide to have the competition?
It's a form of outreach, you know. It's trying to, as I said last year at the concert at St. John's, I pointed to my gray hair and said, who's going to do this when I'm old? And, well, I'm already gray. But it's a chance to try to encourage younger musicians to perform, explore this repertory, and, you know, because they're the next generation of performers. So that's the main motivation behind it, and to give them a platform.
And I presume the idea is that they're going to be playing Baroque music at the competition.
True.
What kind of turnout have you had over the years for that, the competition?
Roughly,
itself?
I'd say 15 to 20.
That's actually even a little, for some reason, a little better than I would have expected.
Yeah, I'm always surprised at how many people, you know, show up, because it's a rather niche, and it's not something that the average young person, at least from my experience when I was that age, the young person was not tuned into. You don't think of pianists as, well, they say play Bach, you know, well-tempered clavier. But I'm happy to see it. I think it's great.
Well, and I was just wondering if the performers might tend to be younger at this competition. The reason I ask is that in many of the all of the Suzuki books that, mm-hmm, a lot of the string players anyway learn from, there is a fair amount of Baroque music in there, and then as they get more advanced, mm-hmm, you know, people perceive they move, mm-hmm, on to other things, which isn't necessarily the right way to think of it.
Yep. Well, these are all high school students basically, so we had some quite wonderful players who've gone on to win other competitions and gone on to the great places.
So who are this year's winners? We mentioned Aaron Schwartz earlier. He's in a trio playing,
right,
some Handel.
And Daniel Cheng was the first place winner, and he's playing Scarlatti sonatas. And then Pierre, it's a French name, I'm going to mispronounce it, Vialant or something.
I think they actually say Vialant.
Vialant. Yeah. Well, that's what I assumed it might be, but I was trying to be give the benefit of the doubt to the French pronunciation. And he's playing Sammartini and Bach. And then the trio that Aaron is part of with Daniel is playing the a trio sonata by George Frideric Handel, which is nice on an all-Handel program, which is an all-Handel.
Yeah, well, the rest of the program is all Handel anyway. Yes, so right. Why don't you tell us about the rest of the program?
Well, the second, as you've already mentioned, the second half of the first part will be the Oboe Concerto in G minor with John Dee as the featured soloist. I've been trying for years, literally, to get John to play, and we've had, for some one reason or another, never been able to make it work. But this time he very graciously changed his schedule to accommodate us, and we're very grateful and looking forward to working and having him play this wonderful piece. The second half of the program is all vocal, but it's not the typical vocal component that you expect from this group, because we have hewn more to the choral side and to the sacred side, I think probably it's fair to say. And that's one of the reasons for this change. Sherry Pantaki, who's well known to local audiences, and Jay Carter, who has been here two or three times to sing with us, the countertenor, most recently at Yale, now in Kansas City as his operating bass, are coming in. They're doing a series of arias and duets by Handel. Four of them are from Julius Caesar. One aria, Cara Sposa, Jay will sing, is from Rinaldo, Handel's first great operatic success, what took him to London in the first place in 1711. And they're reprising a duet they sang 2 years ago when we did Solomon, Welcome as the Dawn of Day, which they both liked, so they're doing that. So they're doing two duets and two arias each.
And you brought along a sample, not of their specific singing, but of one of the pieces that I presume Sherry's going to do.
Yes, this is one of the larger pieces of from Julius Caesar, Da Tempeste, which, as the title infers, is about a storm, and the music is appropriately tumultuous.
And did you call this a rage aria, I think, when you introduced it to me?
That's a kind of generic term, yes. I mean, it's one of the topics in rhetorical topics or styles. Pieces in rage arias are typically fast. They often are in minor keys or major keys in this case, but lots of movement and figuration certainly is true here. This is an E major, and it's violins in unison, by and large, with continuo. So it's a very sparse texture. That's one of the interesting things about the operatic repertory, is that the scoring tends to be sparer, both vocally and instrumentally, than the choral or oratorial repertory.
In Baroque music in general, or Handel's music in particular?
I think in opera and the Baroque period in general, opera seria, as it was called technically, there was very little, if any, chorus, and it was a succession of recitatives and arias. But I found in looking at Julius Caesar, looking for pieces to do, a plethora of pieces that are scored for unison violins and singer in continuo, and relatively few that use the full string body, or there are some oboe things, but they're always doubling the strings.
So who is the character that Renee Fleming is representing in this?
She plays Cleopatra.
So this is not a pants role.
No, the role of Julius Caesar is a countertenor, which, when it was revived in the 60s in New York City, I mentioned to you the debut of Beverly Sills in that performance. It was sung by a pants role for Julius Caesar, but that's changed with the changing tides of performance practice.
Yeah, I've always liked that term, a pants role.
Or trouser roll.
Trouser roll, one or the other. Well, in any event, here is Renee Fleming, not wearing trousers in this photo either. She looks lovely as always, singing music by Handel from Julius Caesar, the Orchestra of the Age Enlightenment, of the Age of Enlightenment, led by Harry Bickett, here on Live and Local on FM 90.9.
Da tempesta in mezzo tra la calma.
Yeah, and that's where we go into the repeated portion of that aria from Handel's Julius Caesar, Da Tempeste il Legno Infranto. Hoping I said that right. Renee Fleming singing with the Orchestra of the Age of Enlightenment, led by Harry Bickett. And you can hear Sherazade Pantaki with the Baroque Artists of Champaign-Urbana, led by Chet Always, this Sunday. Perform that and a number of other arias, also featuring countertenor Jay Carter and a number of young artist winners of Bach's Young Baroque Artist Competition. That's this Sunday at 7:30 at Sinai Temple on West Windsor Road in Champaign. And Chet Always is my guest here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. Coming up in just a few minutes, we have news headlines from NPR. And at 106, Julie Amacher has more music for you. I'm Kevin Kelly. Chet, if somebody wants to get tickets, how do they go about it?
Most easily at the door, probably at this point in time. They'll be available there. There are other mechanisms about on the website or stuff, but I think given the late date, it'd be just as easy to pick them up at the door.
Okay, and you're going to have, you'll probably show up here on the show in a couple or a few weeks because mm-hmm. you've added some concerts this summer.
We're doing two summer concerts, sort of bonus things. We're doing a concert at Buzzboom Castle.
Which is intriguing on its own.
Indeed it is. I've spent the night there, and it's a beautiful place. And so it's a... Charlotte Maddox and Ben Hayek and Amanda Pond are doing a Baroque chamber music concert there. And then in July, the Bach Chorus is going to perform Dixit Dominus by Handel.
I heard what you just tried to say.
They talked me into this. It's a piece I've always wanted to do. It's bloody hard. And then we're also doing some Mendelssohn just because it's another anniversary year and this is a chance for the chorus to do something different. But Dixit is a spectacular piece. Written when Handel was quite young and didn't know what his limitations were.
So if you want more information on all these programs, you can go to baroqueartists.org.
I think it's info at baroqueartists.org, yeah.
Well, that would be the email address.
Yeah, probably too.
Yeah, the website has some info on all of those events and how you can get tickets for the ones coming up, but for the one this Sunday at Sinai Temple, just go to the temple sometime before 7:30, and the earlier the better if you want to get the closer seats or whatever you perceive to be the better seats. And congratulations, Chet, for being the first three-time guest here on Live and Local.
Oh, my.
Yeah, you're the winner so far.
Well, I don't know what that says, but I'm happy to be here.
Well, you had a Bach concert earlier, and you had a concert choir concert, and now here we are again. So it's always a pleasure to have you on the show.
Likewise, Kevin.
And good luck with the concert. And here are a couple of other concerts you can attend. And actually, just really one I'm going to mention because we mentioned the Schwartz Family Band tomorrow, but also tomorrow night, a vocal concert featuring sopranos Marisa De Silva and Megan Johnson Smith with pianist Rachel Jensen. They're performing tomorrow night at 7:30 at McKinley Presbyterian Church at 5th and John Streets in Champaign. So it's kind of spare in the calendar, but that's something for you to do tomorrow night. It's going to be sunny, breezy, and warmer this afternoon, the high 83, clear tonight, the low 54, sunny tomorrow, the high of 84. This is WYLL 90.9 FM and HD Urbana, operating translators W293 AF Danville and W266 AF Urbana.